unfortunately, the human seldom remembers anything when she awakens, but she often get tired after her chaotic dream experiences. The worst thing is that we cannot do anything about it from here, it must come from the human herself. An orderly way of thinking brings ordered dreams. It sounds boring, I interposed. Since my way of thinking never has been particularly orderly, I guess my dreams hardly have been respectable. I probably have been dreaming of the forbidden fruit both day and night on Earth. But you translated it into words, Aura nodded. I suppose most artists have dreams about beauty, even if they never succeed in putting them into practice. Dreams play their wild games inside the subject sphere that has created them, namely the dreamers. But there are other dreams, too. You call them dreams, we call them perceptions. They're messages to the dreamer, and we want them to be remembered, or at least lie in wait in the subconscious mind until they get a chance to make themselves known. They can be warnings, they can be premonitions, or perhaps images of the future. We also have a department for sending urgent messages down to Earth, continued this strange man. That is sometimes also known as premonition or materialization. Some of these experiences do not occur outside the dreamer, nor appear during sleep. They come to the receiver inside his brain and are of great importance for him, and perhaps also for others who may take part of them. Such wireless telegraphy from our realms becomes more frequent in times to come. The humans call it channeling, revelation, or vision. To us it is quite simply messages and guidance. This kind of manifestation shall be strong and clear, but it happens quite often that the medium slash receiver does not listen carefully enough inwards, but involves his, her own thoughts and ideas in our text. But Zaha has already told you about that. Now, let's move on. Before I could say knife, we all three had jumped into the water. But instead of reaching the bottom of the lake, we were again floating high up among the clouds. It was really crowded up there. I discovered that the clouds were not clouds, but veils fanning by. The veils were dreams on their way to the dream cycle, and inside them lived sleeping souls. Now it's time to leave the dream cycle, Zaha decided. It's not a good idea to spend too much time there, because the reality is forgotten in all this wishful thinking and wishful creating. Reality? I objected. What are you calling reality? The true reality is in your heart, in the feeling of what is right just for you. Zaha answered. When you lived on Earth, that was your reality. Now that you have crossed the border, life here is your new reality. The true reality is inside you, in your emotions, in your thoughts, in your perception, but also in your innermost wishes and expectations. You can create a false reality whenever you want to live in it, like a moment ago at the midsummer pole, for instance. It won't make you any happier. You know and feel with your entire being when you live your life in the wholeness. I have never felt myself living as genuinely as I do here, I answered seriously. That could possibly be when I was writing. Then I was perfectly happy to the full. But afterwards you got back to the same old rubbish again. You are still writing, Sharla reminded me gently. She put her little hand on my arm. Her light touch felt like a spark of life and powerful, living joy. You're right, I said, smiling, and I'm going to carry on with that. Well, then I must admit that everything is perfect. The realm of music. While we were talking, we had landed on new ground. The air was reverberating with tones, and in front of us towered a tall building, white like alabaster, with ornate pillars, towers, and pinnacles made of gold, and a gigantic dome-shaped roof that was transparent. Out of the building came the most wonderful music. Obviously, it was a concert hall. All music that is created exists in this building, Sharla told me. Music is distributed from here to different planets and worlds. The first tone which rang out in our universe, and helped to create it, has remained in this building and gives echo to all music that exists, both on Earth and on other celestial bodies. Music that is polluted with disharmonious sounds with the intention of irritating humans' nerve centers is a musical pollution in the ether that may be very harmful to its listeners. It affects the cells in the brain by negatively stimulating certain centers. This may result in acts of violence. There are, as you know, computer viruses, but there are also music viruses. A lot of synthetic music is created on Earth, that is as synthetic in its structure as in its instruments. It does not exist here. One can create out of what is created. What do you mean? I wondered. Do you mean that you transform already existing music into negative tone formations? It is feasible with the right tools, Sharla answered. But we don't do such things here. They only take place on Earth. There are celestial bodies that don't have any music, but the tone is always present there, and it is up to them if they want to create something out of it. Is this realm of music a stable and permanent state? I asked. I mean, how does it really work? Yes, Zar answered. In contrast to the dream cycle, it is perfectly stable. In the dream cycle, everything can be dissolved. It is like a shadow world without shadows, a world of color chimera, where everything is permitted without order or permanence. The realm where you are now is, in its own way, as physical as the planet you come from. You humans put other sets of values on the physical. What you don't understand you classify as non-physical, metaphysical, or spiritual, sometimes religious. In reality, it is only a matter of perception. It is evolved in a dense way on Earth, while it is changed to a more subtle frequency here. I listened. The music penetrated me, filled me with a whirl of sacred tones, tones that glowed, that ached in my heart, and at the same time caressed away all pain and worry. There were tones I recognized and tones I'd never heard before or imagined they could exist. They burst out in a beauty so tremendous that flames burnt throughout my body, and my head was turned into 1,000 white swans sailing around an egg of gold dust. In that egg I existed, my true self, the self that is of spirit, the self that can cry forward joy, the self that belongs to eternity. I don't know if we entered the music palace. My consciousness had been erased and I was the music, lived in it, danced with it, and sang with it. I was dragged out of this hardly pragmatic state by Sharla, who took my hand and pulled me with her. Before I had time to think, we were in a new world. The realm of music. While we were talking, we had landed on new ground. The air was reverberating with tones, and in front of us towered a tall building, white like alabaster, with ornate pillars, towers, and pinnacles made of gold, and a gigantic dome-shaped roof that was transparent. Out of the building came the most wonderful music. Obviously, it was a concert hall. All music that is created exists in this building, Sharla told me. Music is distributed from here to different planets and worlds. The first tone which rang out in our universe, and helped to create it, has remained in this building and gives echo to all music that exists, both on Earth and on other celestial bodies. Music that is polluted with disharmonious sounds with the intention of irritating humans' nerve centers is a musical pollution in the ether that may be very harmful to its listeners. It affects the cells in the brain by negatively stimulating certain centers. This may result in acts of violence. There are, as you know, computer viruses, but there are also music viruses. A lot of synthetic music is created on Earth, that is as synthetic in its structure as in its instruments. It does not exist here. One can create out of what is created. What do you mean? I wondered. Do you mean that you transform already existing music into negative tone formations? It is feasible with the right tools, Sharla answered. But we don't do such things here. They only take place on Earth. There are celestial bodies that don't have any music. But the tone is always present there, and it is up to them if they want to create something out of it. Is this realm of music a stable and permanent state? I asked. I mean, how does it really work? Yes, Zar answered. In contrast to the dream cycle, it is perfectly stable. In the dream cycle, Everything can be dissolved. It is like a shadow world without shadows, a world of color chimera, where everything is permitted without order or permanence. The realm where you are now is, in its own way, as physical as the planet you come from. You humans put other sets of values on the physical. What you don't understand you classify as non-physical, metaphysical, or spiritual, sometimes religious. In reality, it is only a matter of perception. It is evolved in a dense way on Earth, while it is changed to a more subtle frequency here. I listened. The music penetrated me, filled me with a whirl of sacred tones, tones that glowed, that ached in my heart, and at the same time caressed away all pain and worry. There were tones I recognized and tones I'd never heard before or imagined they could exist. They burst out in a beauty so tremendous that flames burned throughout my body, and my head was turned into a thousand white swans sailing around an egg of gold dust. In that egg I existed, my true self, the self that is of spirit, the self that can cry forward joy, the self that belongs to eternity. I don't know if we entered the music palace. My consciousness had been erased and I was the music, lived in it, danced with it, and sang with it. I was dragged out of this hardly pragmatic state by Sharla, who took my hand and pulled me with her. Before I had time to think, we were in a new world. The nature world. The realm of music is played out, Sharla joked. You need a big kick to wake you up. The kick was composed of something she put into my mouth, perhaps a vitamin C tablet, because it tasted good and had an immediate bracing effect. But I don't think vitamin C belongs to where I reside now. Are the miracle pills in the spirit world? Call it what you like, Sharla said. The tablet you received contains compressed energy in the form of rays that go directly to your brain cells. It is edifying and totally harmless. But in reality, only healing and thoughts of light are needed. Music has a spellbinding influence on many, and it may be difficult to break the spell. But now to something completely different. First, my sense of smell was affected. I looked around. Again we found ourselves near a waterfall, but never had I seen such floral splendor as here. Bushes, trees, the ground, everything was dazzling. One recognized that special odor of moistness, soil, and greenery that arises after rainy weather, but this was more intense and aromatic than on Earth. We were so close to the nature world that I felt inclined to make an excursion here, although we still have many realms to visit in the astral world, Sharla admitted. Here live the beings of nature. We have arrived at a tiny part of a giant landscape. She stroked my eyes, and at once I saw beings swarming around us. They resembled exactly how I had imagined these delightful beings, sheer and exquisite in each line, swift, and graceful. I also caught a glimpse of what we call goblins, dressed in grey homespun frocks, apparently very active, hurrying about with various tools in their hands. When a tree dies, its tivu ends up here, Sharla went on. The spiritual form of the tree also follows and settles down here. In this world you'll find all plant species from Earth, but also flora from other planets. There are many different realms in this world, too, but we're restricting our visit to the elementals of Earth, because I am not sure what you would think of some other beings. They don't resemble ours, and some of them can make a frightening impression. Many thousands of years ago, the beings of nature cooperated with the humans on Earth. You should remember that. As we know, you were there from the beginning, and on Zio nothing was more natural than this. The flora on Zio was something absolutely unique, something you cannot find on any planet anymore. Nowadays the humans have lost their ability to talk to the beings of nature, but it will return when the Earth changes. Do you really think there will be great changes? Aren't the minds of the humans far too poisoned to understand what they are doing? Maybe at the moment. But do you have any idea what happens to all these sheer beings as a result of your environmental contamination? They move back here, don't they? Yes, eventually. But not all of them. a very large number will be so badly injured that they will have to go back all the way to their first energy state. They must start all over again. Some of them cannot even manage that. These poor creatures are being dissolved in great pain before they revert to a state of energy. Can that happen to humans as well? I wondered, terrified. No, Sharla replied, smiling. It's not that simple. They must pay for what they're doing to nature themselves, either by suffering diseases or facing other problems. When they come here, their wrongs are revealed to them, and if they don't understand what they have done, they get to wander about in the no man's world or return to Earth immediately, to make good for what they have violated. The grass we tread on, the flowers we pick and throw away, the branches we pull off, and all other destruction, what happens to the beings of nature then? And what happens in forest fires? I asked. The fires are cleansing processes, Sharla explained patiently. Then the seed and the astral image remain and can take shape again. These create a new growth under the same conditions. When you tread on grass, you must know that not every blade has an elemental. There is instead a group diva for every species. That's how it works for small species, even in the realm of animals. How come the nature world is so big that it has a circle of its own on the map? Nature is more important than anything else, Jan. Everything originates from there. It contains so many realms, so many secrets, everything that grows, all evolution. It needs a lot of space. We have made an extra circle for nature on the map because its beings need their own section. These beings are related to the angels. Nature is the basis for all existence, both physical and astral ethereal. Mother Earth is the birth-giving and creating first mother, not only in the physical world and in our worlds, but also on other planets. The starry sky is a part of nature. The clouds, the lightning, the thunder, the aurora borealis, the rain, and the storm are parts of the unlimited existence of nature. She took my arm, and I sniffed covetously the lovely scent of her long hair, which was tickling my cheek. There were fragrances in these wonderful worlds, music for your ears, scents for your nose, but perhaps not very much for your stomach. Oh yes, Sharla laughed. If you want to eat, help yourself. You can create with your thought, can't you? Some children on Earth know that already. They often visit this part of the nature world and experience their own fairy tales. To them the adventure is quite physical. They have such power of insight. Unfortunately, the grown-ups don't believe them. Now, have a look, Jan. We were walking on a forest road in a real fantasy forest resembling an old-world Swedish mixed forest. Mossy mountains, green tussocks where delightfully light tread and tender twin flower was winding its light arms around the lingonberry bushes, and dense thickets of woodbine and guelder rose lurked between the trees. Our path covered with needles was full of ants. Here I would love to walk forever beside my beautiful companion. Oh no. She caught my thought, tittering. We're only here on a short visit, so please observe your surroundings carefully. I turned around, a little embarrassed. It was terrible that the earthly thoughts still haunted my ethereal brain and that Sharla read them ever so easily. Behind me I caught sight of a crowd of goblins and other little people. They stood in a circle, watching a small troll urchin doing funny somersaults, which provoked happy laughter. When I looked up at the treetops I saw thin, beautiful beings floating out of them. They must be the tree devas. Yes, that's right, stated Sharla, again with that mischievous look. Stop sniffing at my hair and look straight ahead instead. In the middle of a meadow ran a creek. In the middle of the creek, Neckan, of course, was sitting, playing his fiddle unceasingly, and around him the fairies were dancing. Malignant elves rose up from roots and black holes in the ground. Far over there, a giant was walking around in huge, coarse boots. Never before had I imagined how it is to be in the middle of a real fairy tale. Nor are you, Sharla said, with her rippling silvery laughter. I'm showing you this in order for you to understand the relationship between the realms of nature and the fairy tales. They belong together. All its beings live in nature on a frequency that is invisible for human beings. Do you remember your first incarnations on Earth, Jan? At that time nature was undestroyed, and humans were in daily contact with these beings. But the Earth's inhabitants themselves built barriers, of course, erroneous thoughts. At some future date, we hope that the good fellowship between humans and beings of nature will return. But the outlook is gloomy, considering how you are destroying your Earth. I sat down on a stone and put my fingers into the cascades of the whirling water. It felt fresh and good, so I washed my whole face and enjoyed that I still had a face. Helpfully a good-looking one. You look very good, Sharla assured me, with a ringing laugh. I had forgotten that we were dealing with thought reading. It can be annoying enough sometimes. I was pondering over where the realm of animals was situated. The realm of animals from Earth border on the realm of our elementals, Sharla answered. We'll go there soon. I say the realm of animals from Earth, because there are animals on other inhabited planets as well, and the same goes for the plants. Those are totally different species, but they also have their place in the great wholeness. Even the tiniest plant or animal species on Earth is represented here by a mother plant or diva. I see an almost frustratingly luxuriant plant life here, I interrupted, but still I haven't seen how all these elementals live. I cannot possibly show you that, Sharla said, smiling. Every little being has its own way of living, in symbiosis with its plant. How are hybrids coming into existence, then? Their origin is also here. Nothing comes into existence just like that in the human brain. The inspiration must come from somewhere. There's a seed, isn't there? Suddenly something is added through a conscious or unconscious action that causes a divergence from the original plant. It can be a bird, a breath of wind, some foreign substance in the soil that the seed absorbs. If we go back to the dream cycle, we know that ideas arise that in many cases have been realized by the dreamer. But sometimes the foreign additive is a bad thing. It can be added for experimental purposes. That is something that unfortunately has started to occur on Earth to a frightening extent. Do you mean gene manipulation? I wondered. Yes, that's what it's called, Sharla answered gloomily. It's not good at all. It has gone too far with such experiments that occur in the spirit of profit and lust for power. We are very concerned about this. When humans begin to clone humans, they're trespassing on the territory of the Great Spirit, aren't they? I asked. Neither animals nor humans should be cloned, Sharla said, with a determined voice. Scientists cannot create souls. Cloned beings are soulless. There is only one origin for the soul. There are planets where cloning occurs frequently. The mechanical functions are working and they have managed to achieve brains that are technically highly developed. One thing is common to all these, they totally lack all emotions. Their thinking is limited to certain manipulated channels. The cloned ones are robots made of flesh and blood. This conversation is going downhill rapidly. With a swift movement she put her hand on my eyes, and so we became space travelers again. Or did space come to us? But when she removed her little hand, I discovered that it wasn't space we were floating in. We were passing over a long bridge without touching the ground with our feet. It must be the bridge between the nature world and the ethereal worlds, I thought. We were probably traveling at the speed of thought. Oh no, the voice of my companion was heard, full of laughter. Surely we can think faster than this. Look instead at one of the most beautiful bridges we have. It stretches across the parallel worlds and the incarnation worlds, which you are not going to visit now. Rainbow-colored glitter was floating in light clouds on both sides of the bridge. All along the bridge were sculptures, ornaments, and mosaics that were exceptionally beautiful. We had slowed down, so I had time to think. The bridge between now and then, I pondered. The bridge between then and beyond. The bridge between the dimensions, that made sense, because dimension is a measure relating to range. We come from one range and are on our way to another, my merry thought continued. In algebra, you were taught that dimension is tantamount to degree. But here it's not possible to grade our existence in the same way as one-dimensional straight lines through motion can become two-dimensional planes, and these in turn through further motion can become three-dimensional spaces. Euclid talked about the room with three dimensions, but he was only a human. I am now in the fourth dimension. Well, that's how it must be. Don't try to explain what you are now experiencing with human physics terms, was Shayla's rather irritating comment to my scholastic thoughts. You'll have other things to think about when we get over this bridge, and we will, very soon. The realm of animals. It is not easy to talk when you are whizzing away like that. But as we landed on a sandy plain, I couldn't help but asking, I cannot let go of all the information I have received on Earth about the astral plane, as it is called there, with all its dark mystery, black magic, and low-level sorcery. Ghosts and more or less malicious forces, as well as UFOs, are assigned to the astral plane. So far I have only seen beautiful, substantial, happy, and importantly informative parts of what you here call the astral world. Where do you keep the shady and uncanny things? Where are the cheaters, the materially spiritual ones, who earn a lot of money and claim to have channels to you? We prefer not to talk about the dark sides, Zar answered. They certainly don't exist in the astral world. They are located close to Earth, as you can see on the cosmic map, because they have a close connection to the humans who have developed them. The dark realms are not the same thing as hell, because Jaina is to be found on Earth, within the humans themselves. Your defective religions have created expressions like hell, devil, and purgatory. You don't have a single religion which does not point out sin and punishment. The dark realms are permeated with hopelessness rather than magic, because the black magic that is invented and spread from the never reaches our worlds. It ends up in humans who are receptive to evil. Does the word astra mean something to you, Jan? It means stars in Latin, does not it? I answered, a little surprised. Exactly, Zar said contentedly. Astra means star and astralis means shining like a star. Can you connect these words with evil? The humans have let the whole beautiful, bright meaning of the words astral world disappear, and instead they have changed it into something dark and a bit scary, which originates from the fear and agony that they carry within themselves. Here you will now learn what the astral world really means, the true astral and star sparkling one. What about the mental plane? I asked. It's included in every book I have read. It's regarded as one step higher than the astral plane. Dear Jan, Zar answered, the mental is what takes place in your brain and what is not said with your mouth, in other words, your thoughts. Your books have gotten hold of the wrong end of the stick. The mental is closer than the no man's world, because it means that your living brains are working. A separate mental plane or world does not exist. All thinking is mental. Consequently, it exists here too, where it works in a telepathic way. Since telepathy is not yet common on Earth, humans have assigned the mental its own plane. Let them use whatever terminology they want, but here we work according to our own parlance. We try to make the different worlds understandable for the readers, and then we cannot use terms created by religions on Earth. Have you been looking around? Shayla's soft voice interrupted us. I had not. Zar was about to turn my established conceptions upside down, but that was of course something that I had been experiencing continuously since I came here. I realized that everything was much simpler than you could possibly imagine on Earth, and I felt a little ashamed of my ignorance of the astral. From now on, the astral world would be the world of the stars. Contented, I looked around. And on one side of us I saw high cliffs and on the other side forests. The sandy plain ran down to a lake. In the distance I saw wild animals grazing, running around, or lying down resting. The strange thing was that so many different sorts of animals were together, everything from tigers, lions, elephants, zebras, and deer, to all kinds of small animals. On Earth it was a matter of eat or be eaten. Here it was only a matter of gathering in peace and fellowship. Noah's Ark! I exclaimed. All kinds of animals seem to get on well together here. Of course, Sharla answered. Here you find a great variation of landscapes for the wild animals. We also have a beautiful park with comfortable dwellings for pets.